received this great gift and great blessings, that we might recognize how indebted we are to you, that we might serve you out of that indebtedness, and that we might serve you to that very end, persevere to the very end, so that we might reign with you forevermore. Bless, guide, protect, watch over, and keep us all in your loving care. We ask and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As for me and my house, is today's message. Joshua, we remember Joshua, a young man, excited, vibrant, you know, wanting to go out and conquer the world, just believing enough in God. Remember him as one of the young men that went out there and spied out the land, came back with a good report. 10 others went back and said, we can't take over this land that God gave to us because there's giants in those land. Well, Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit than the other 10. They decided, no, we're going to activate, we're going to trust God, we're going to believe what God said, and they were going to try to promote that to the people. But unfortunately, the 10 other ones won out. The negative crowd, you know, won out, and they changed the course of history for Jews at that moment. But nevertheless, the spirit of Joshua, who he is, remained the same, consistent, even until now, his later age. He's gone through victory. He's gone through battles. He's gone through Canaan. He's gone through Jericho. He's gone through all of these different things. And now he's an old man, an older man. And you got a little different perspective when you start getting a little older and you start seeing things a little bit different. And you've gone through some things, and you've gone through some ups and some downs and some experiences. You start to see things a little bit different. You can see patterns because of the years of living that you've been living. You can see things that sometimes other people can't see. And Joshua's right there, the same person, older, wiser, but now he's here. And he's got a statement to make. His voice is still just as loud and just as important as ever. And so he gathers together the tribes at Shechem, a place of great history. The very place where God told Abraham this and promised him the very land that they were standing on right there at this moment in Shechem. Jacob also buried the foreign gods under the oak tree, symbolizing the fact that they were putting off idolatry, that they were now repenting and coming back to the true and the living God. And so this place is rich in history, and this is where he calls the tribes together to make this most important declaration, this great statement. If serving the Lord seems undesirable to you today, if it seems evil for you to serve the Lord, choose you this day who you will serve. Whether the gods that your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye now dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the church said, amen. He didn't say, I'm a call to wife and see what we should do. I'm a call to kids and we're going to get a vote. He said, no, I want you to see this. As the man of the house, as the one that now God has given and laid so much at his feet, responsibility at his feet, he takes the spiritual responsibility and declares this. Look, this is what our household is about. He sets the standard for his home. And I think it's important that as men we recognize that there's a standard that we need to set. That as Joshua was saying, look, I'm speaking up on behalf of my family. I'm speaking up on behalf of my kids. I'm speaking up about my own house. I don't know what goes on in your household. Hello. But ask me in my house. You know, last week I made some things about our congregation. I don't know what goes on everywhere else. But as for us here at Green Bank, there's some things that maybe someone else will allow that we say we don't allow, or vice versa. We're not living for everybody else. We're living for God. Amen. And in my household, I'm not living for the Johnsons down the street. Not y'all. The Johnsons down the street. I'm not, you know, but we're living. This is as we, and this is a point of conviction that first starts the man of God. The man that God has given to be over that household. There's got to be a conviction. There's got to be a faith that man has, that now he can be able to share with his wife, to share with his kids, a conviction that you must have, brothers. The very purpose, you're standing where you're standing, living how you're living, you know, and recognizing all this, there's a conviction, there's a courage that it takes to say, look, I'm just going to trust God. I don't care what the world is doing. I don't care what the Republicans and the Democrats and the this or that are doing. I don't care what down the street. All I'm saying is I'm looking at my Bible. I'm looking at the Word, and I just want to do what it says. I want to be the man that God wants me to be. As for me and my house, whatever y'all are doing, that's fine, but as for me in my house, we will serve the Lord. And we got to have that conviction. We're not just trying to get kids out of to school. I mean, we are trying to do that, just trying to get them out of school, graduated and off, but that's not all we're doing. There's a faith factor that needs to be present in our homes. There's a recognition that the family is the most important teacher, period. Your household is going to be your kids' most important set of teachings. What are we teaching? How are we sharing? What are we promoting? And all of that, because that is exactly what they're going to receive. We're trying to get kids to heaven, not just out of high school. That's good getting out of high school, but heaven is better. But it needs a messenger. See, whenever God was sending a message, he needed a messenger. And the messenger is vital. The messenger has to stand up and deliver. Think about all the prophets of the old. And I want you to think fatherhood or even in that position, even motherhood, as a position of a prophet, that you're foretelling the things of God. You're sharing what God has given for you to share. Now, we're not doing it in a miraculous way. We're not doing it by inspiration. We're doing it by perspiration. You got to get into the book. You got to read it. You got to study it. You got in all of that. But you have to disseminate that. And you've got to be convinced first, brothers. You've got to be convinced that this is a faith worth fighting for. This is a faith worth forming my family around. This is a faith that not only am I just encouraging us to say, look, hey, let's start going to church. That's a good step. But even a better step, let's start being a church. Let's start getting deeper into service and showing your kids. It's not just checking the box on Sunday, but it's how are we living? How are we serving when nobody else is looking? How are you dealing with the person on the job that's coming at your throat and all of that? You're trying to show them how to live in such a way that you're going to give grace and you're going to share with them in such a way that allows God to be seen in you. So much that we need to teach. And it's not all sitting down, book, chapter, and verse. Most of what they're going to learn is what they see. And so it's so important for us to recognize what we have to do. I didn't even get to my first point yet, but we're going right now. What did Joshua do? Joshua, in his this faithful blessing, this message, this example that he's given, first he's rehearsing God's faithfulness before he gave his challenge. He said in verse 12, you did not do it with your own sword or bow. You did not do it. Before Joshua issued this declaration, he reminded them of everything God had done. Look at verses 1 through 13. Cedric read it already. He goes through the history of God and his people. Look, let's go back to that for just one moment. I just want to Oh boy, 24. That's why I need a book up here sometimes. There we go. I want you to start looking at verse 1 for it. Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. Summoned the elders, the leaders, the judges, the officials of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. He's on his way out. He's feeling like, maybe this is this is his moment, his Paul moment. You know, I fought the good fight. I've kept the faith. And he's recognizing he's got more days behind him than he has ahead of him. He's trying to make a statement, a declaration that's going to impact the people. And so he starts with the leaders. That's pretty smart, right? Everything rises and falls on leadership. If there's some, there's a failure, it rises and falls on us, on our shoulders. And so he starts with the leaders, the elders, the leaders, the judges, the officials of Israel. They present themselves before the Lord. And Joshua says to the people, what's the first words? This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, dot, dot, dot. Long ago, your ancestors, and he starts with Abraham. And then look at verse 3. But I took your father Abraham from the land and beyond the Euphrates, and led him throughout Canaan, gave him many descendants. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. I assigned the hill country of Seir to Esau, but Jacob and his family went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron. Then I afflicted the Egyptians. And what I did, do you hear what he's saying? I. And then go down to verse 12. Matter of fact, go back to verse 11. Then you crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho. The citizens of Jericho fought against you, and as did also the Amorites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hittites, Girgashites, Hivites, and Jebusites, but I gave them into your hand. I sent a hornet ahead of you, which drove them out before you, and also the two Amorite kings. I want to just focus right there on that verse 11, that last part, but I gave them into your hand. I. God is at work here. And Joshua is reminding people that God has been at work. He's not silent. He's been at work. He's protected them. He's led them. They had these Red Sea moments. They even had a Jordan moment. In the Jordan River, they had a very similar thing. God split the Jordan River so that they could cross on over. God has been doing miracle after miracle, wonders. And Joshua goes, dude, you need to remember this. It's kind of like David, when David was before Saul, king, and he was, you know, trying to go up against battle against Goliath. He taps into that resource of what God did in the past. He protected me from the lion. He protected me from the bear. And he'll protect me from this uncircumcised Philistine. He's already done it in the past. And he gave me victory. And so I take what he's done in the past and use it as my fuel for what God is doing now and for the faith that I need for what he's going to do in the future. You see that? Y'all see that? Y'all with me? And so he said, you did not do it with your own sword and bow. We don't serve. As a brother said earlier, we don't even give. You know, I'm not trying to outgive God. I'm not even trying to, I'm recognizing what God has done for me. And that's what he's taking him on this journey. You recognize the dangers. You recognize the salvation that God has given to you. And I'm not only talking about saving you from your sins. I'm talking about even in life. You recognize the moments, the doors God opens, the times he pulls you out of that miry clay and you're slipping and you're drifting and you're going the wrong direction and he gives you that little turn. I mean, do you recognize God's hand in your life? And if you do recognize God's hand in your life, he's really saying we need to stop right there and ponder and think and remember. That's the fuel for obedience. Obedience isn't, I want to just measure up, and this is the same thing. We ought to give. Brother said, this isn't about salvation. That's exactly right. It's not about salvation. It's about recognizing what God has done for me, recognizing how much God has given to me, and that be the fuel for, that fuels everything I do. It's going to fuel how I serve. It's going to fuel how I give. It's going to fuel how I love others and serve others and treat others and all that. It's going to fuel all of that. So he rehearsed God's faithfulness before he gave his challenge. And then he confronted the idols that were in the camp. He confronted. They had a history, a long history. a long history of back and forth with God, back and forth, serving the true and living God and then giving up and going right back into the same idolatry that they came out of. And so this was a continual thing that he had to do, but he confronted what was already there. He recognized the mixing, because sometimes even though they didn't sometimes completely abandon, they brought a little bit of idolatry in. Hello. And you bring a little bit in, and guess what happens? Sometimes you get a little more. And then you get a little more. And then all of a sudden, things start shaping and shifting and changing and completely different. You know, look at the Jews on the day when Jesus came. Jesus gave them the word. He gave them the law. And over time, you have fragments, you have divisions, and you have this group and that group and this camp and that camp, and then the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Essenes, and you've got all these different hosts of different things out there, right? And that's just what we do, because those things started creeping in and started shifting and changing things. But Joshua goes right back to the source. Our faithfulness to God is paramount. It is most important, our faithfulness to God. And he says, throw away the gods that your ancestors worshipped. Throw them away. Don't just take that little item and put it in a box somewhere. He said, throw that thing away. And now, some of us don't have the same temptations as, you know, getting a little carved item and sitting down and bowing to it, or... Some of us don't have that, but maybe your idol's something different. Maybe it's something else that you take and replace God with. Maybe it's success. Maybe materialism. That's the thing you're going after, and you're saying, God, I'm gonna push you aside and make you smaller and increase this and make this larger. I'm gonna put my devotion, my time, my energy into this instead of you. That idolatry, I mean, whatever that thing is, I mean, you're going to need to name it for yourself. You know what it is. You know what the struggle is. You know what it is that's stopping you from being all you can be in a relationship with God. And what Joshua's saying is, put it away. Throw it away. Get it out. And because that's going to bring you the peace and the blessing that you desire. That's going to bring you the intimacy that you can't get because it's blocking the way. And then lastly, he made a decision. As I said earlier, he didn't consult everyone in the world. He went and he recognized what was right for God. And because it was right before God, it was enough. Let me say that again. Because it was right for God, it's enough. It doesn't matter what mama says. I'm going to get myself in trouble. It doesn't matter what my wife says either. If it's God. I ain't scared. We all right. We good. Why are we good? Because I know my wife wants to do what God wants to do. I know she does. And we've been at these crossroads before. And I know her character, and I know that we're going to go and we're going to follow God's way. But just by chance that we have a difference of opinion, the kids say, no. As for me and my, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to look at the word of God. And I'm not saying this being brash or you know, what is it called? Male chauvinism on it. I'm saying that at some point, someone has to say, no, the buck stops right here. That if by any chance, and once again, like I said, we've never been completely right there, but there are some points where we say, look, this is the direction we have to go, because God has put that in my responsibility, you know, as given me a responsibility to make that. I'm going to just tell you the truth. Most of the times, I acquiesce. I go to my wife's choices and decisions because I really believe it's the right decision. All right? And it keeps a lot of peace, too. I'm going to just say that. Right. But my wife knows, my kids know, this church knows, that if there is something that I am passionately about and believe that this is God's will, you ain't gonna move me. She ain't gonna move me. The kids ain't gonna move me unless God moves me. Once that sounds brash, don't it? But it's the God. Why? Because we have to stand where God stands, regardless of what they say or what they are, them over there. I want to stand on God's word. And if I believe this is what God's word is for me and my house, and he's giving me that responsibility, then I have to take that same position Joshua takes. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I believe my wife and my kids respect that. And I believe they'll respect you when you take that same charge. Because what we're doing is we're trying to set a spiritual direction. And if you have to take a stand like that, I'm telling you right now that they will follow only because and only if they understand that you truly are convicted, that you are a person that follows God's lead whenever and wherever. Hello. If it's just an accidental thing that happens one day, you understand what I'm saying? This congregation, there were some times where that we've gone and forged and gone into new things. Into this right here, this word itself. People had to believe and have confidence in the leadership and of the direction of the persons that were out front in order to be able to follow. Hello? Nobody's walking into a war without thinking that the person that's out in front has your best interest in mind and has a plan ready and is thinking about and caring about and loving and all of that. Brothers, that's you. You're the one out front. You're the one that's got to lead the charge. You're the one that has to take that sword and say, charge, and let's go. And this is the direction that we're going. And God, and once again, and God has to be that foundation. And this shouldn't be something scary. Well, it is. Let me stop lying. It's a little scary. But it's something worth stepping up to the plate. Stepping up and taking that responsibility. Brothers, you are needed so much. God has given us so much responsibility. Man, he's talking. I know the world around us oftentimes tries to knock you off the pedestal that God has given to you. Excuse me, the position. It's not a pedestal of glory. It's not a glory. Hello. Anyway, let me. But it's so important. The stabilizing force in the home. Look at the homes that don't have a dad. You're going to see a difference. Look at the homes that don't have a functional dad. You're going to see a difference. And so my charge is, my encouragement is, you know, for us to recognize the God-given responsibility, the blessing that God has given men to be, the blessing that he had, the blessing of manhood. I can't even orchestrate a little clap for us men. Can y'all? Well, brother, is it? I know. I know what it is to be a single father. I know what it is to be a married, a father of kids. I know the struggle. I know that you are valuable. I know that we are valuable. So if nobody else gives you your roses, I'm giving them to you. Amen. God bless you. Amen. So that we can get to a great dinner that I know everyone's preparing for their fathers and for all the restaurants for us to rush out and, you know, be able to get to the restaurants. I'm going to close this right there. Listen, you're going to have plenty of opportunity to get in any restaurant you want today. All right. But I want you to just, once again, men, recognize the great responsibility God has given to us. He gave the rearing or the responsibility, that leadership, to the man. Right? Men, don't provoke the children to wrath. Right? Men, we have that job of training them and nurturing them as just as much as mama does, if not more. Don't shirk on your responsibilities. is hard. Sometimes we're not appreciated. Hello. But it's vital and it's such an important job. And there are many that run away from it. You be that stand-up man. I know, even if mom's not in the picture and she's, you be the stand-up man. You be the one that's doing the right thing that your child can never say, well, he didn't try. You do all the best you can. And I know there's some crazy, I've heard some stories. I lived some stories. I know that everything isn't black and white, and you keep fighting. You keep loving. You keep serving. You keep doing what's right. And in the end, everything will be made right if you do what's right. Amen? Amen. Amen. Whew, I ain't know where all these messages come. Well, I know where they're coming from, but let me just wrap it up like this. Today can be a new start for someone. It can be a new day. This can be your turning point of change. You know, there's always this in transformation and any type of change, you've got that before and you've got that after. And you've got something that made the difference, something that changed that course. And it's the gospel. I spoke about it last week. The gospel makes the difference. The gospel tells us you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to do everything right. All you need to do is surrender and give yourself to Him as perfect, who did all things right, including coming to die for each and every one of us. Jesus came, He died, He was buried on the third day. He was buried and then rose on the third day according to scriptures. That's the message of the gospel, because that includes what Jesus did and why He did, His motivation. He loved us so much that God gave His only begotten Son. God sent Jesus to this earth for us. He sees our struggle with sin. He sees the fight. He recognizes that He's a perfect and almighty God, and He can't look at sin. He can't look at darkness and all of that. So He sends Jesus to be our light, to cover us from our darkness, to come and now clothe us with these white garments that we don't really deserve. Because in and of myself, man, I know you see Domingo up here on Sunday morning, right? But in and of myself, we know our nature, we know who we truly are, and we know that we're just one step away. And so what we need to do is stay connected with God. I want to keep my hand in His hands. I want to keep serving Him and living for Him forevermore. Because really, life is a purposeless life without the Lord. What are you doing? Just breathing air and getting ready to die. No purpose. No. But we have purpose in Christ. We're given a family that we have purpose with. And we're charged to go out and take that purpose to the world. But if you want to come and join and be part of this family of God, it starts with surrender. It starts with that point that you recognize that I'm living for myself. And now, because of the gospel, I'm ready to make a change. Because I recognize what Jesus did, He died, He was buried, and He rose. And He's encouraging me and telling me to do the same thing, to die to self, to be buried in baptism, to rise and walk in newness of life. That's what he told. Look at Peter on the day of Pentecost. Peter's preaching the gospel message that Jesus died, was buried, and rose. He tells him as much. And then in verse 37, it says he brings this whole message to a summary, and he comes and says, "Let all the house of Israel know with surely that God made this same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." And then it says that they were pricked in their hearts. They heard this message, the gospel message. He died, was buried, and rose. Because of what the implication of that, God made Him both Lord and Christ. They didn't just kill an ordinary man. They killed the Son of God. They recognized that, and they said, "What do we need to do?" And He says, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." He tells them two things they're going to get. When they repent, when they're baptized, they're going to receive the forgiveness of sins. Or in some versions might say the remission of sins. He's going to blot out those sins. He's going to wash them away. He's going to take them off. He's not going to charge them to us any longer. And then not only does he take away, but he fills that space with his Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit now comes and takes residence in our life. Maybe there's someone here this morning, even on this day. There was one already this morning, right before service, the Oxford Church of Christ came and they had a baptism this morning. The water's ready and it's good and warm. Amen. Are you ready? Maybe there's someone here this morning, you're ready to put the Lord in baptism, to come and surrender to Jesus Christ. This is your day of preparation. We've got clothes, we got everything. Because we want you to be ready at all times. We're ready. The clothes are ready. The water's ready. We're ready. Heaven's ready. Everything's ready. Are you ready? If you're ready, won't you come right now as we stand and sing the song of invitation?
Come from the low soul.